Welcome back to the Made It in Music podcast. I'm Riley Taylor, our community manager here at Full Circle Music, and I'm so excited for you to hear this upcoming episode because today I'm talking with Alex Akimov about AI and music promotion. Alex migrated to the U.S. when he was 19 and transitioned from touring guitarist to pioneering music manager. Together with his wife, Lonnie, they used early social platforms to elevate the fame of boy band New District. In 2017, Alex launched Simple Social, a digital marketing agency for global artists, and later founded Sound.me in 2022, an AI-powered platform transforming influencer collaborations and music promotion with nearly 1 million users. This was recorded along with our live online audience from our Song Chasers community. You can learn more about songwriting and find other music industry resources at fullcirclemusic.com. For now, let's dive into the episode.
Yeah, I would love, man, I want to talk for a second about music videos because there's a lot of people in the industry who have very different opinions of them. I feel like in Nashville, it's gone out the window in many ways. People are definitely doing visualizers, visual content, but where people maybe used to spend $10,000 or $20,000 on a music video, they might use that same budget to create 100 pieces of micro content across TikTok or Instagram. Can you talk about music videos and, you know, are they dead? Do they still have power? What's the place for music videos?
Oh, they still have power. They still have a lot of power, in my opinion, especially in hip hop and Latin. Nashville is a different story, right? Nashville still buys CDs. So, you know, like in Nashville, you still can actually sell CDs and you can still like make a living selling records. So, which is, you know, dying everywhere else. So Nashville is a different market. I wouldn't look at this country market as a completely different market. And it's probably the richest market, you know, probably one off, but it's a different thing. I think music videos are not dying, but you have to be smart with this, with the music videos. You know, like back in the 90s, Michael Jackson, you know, they spent $8 million on a music video. Nobody's going to do this now if they're sane, right? Like, so what changes is you have to look at this as you're creating a long form content video, but be ready to cut it into short pieces, right? And people not using enough, you can cut actually from one music video, you can cut a bunch of short piece content, right? So you can do verse, you can do verse in the chorus, you can do second verse in the chorus, second verse, you can do bridge, you can do so much content out of one video, but that people just not doing. Mm-hmm. I think artists are just kind of like polarized in the way that like, now what? There's so much, what do I do? And it's the most confusing thing right now. You know, you can create hundreds of pieces of content, short piece content, and spend the money for the, you know, same amount of money you'll spend on a music video. But why don't you do both? Kind of in the way that don't spend a lot of money on your music video, just come up with creative ideas and, you know, make short piece content as well while you're filming the music video. So and do all of this together. And I think with AI coming, you know, really AI, AR, you know, all this VR stuff coming out, I think this is going to bring the music videos back. But in the way I think they're going to do it is, and people already starting to test it slowly but steady, that, you know, green screen in the videos, you can be a part of the video. When you post your content, you can be a part with the artist. You can like, you know, put yourself into it, or you can completely like immerse into this virtual reality and you can be a part of the music video. So I think that's when it's going to give them second life and music video is going to go to the top again. Mm. Hip hop is still only music videos. So that's the main drivers for them. And hip hop is them dominating the industry at the moment, you know, because everything is hip hop. Hip hop is new pop, which is cool. And Latin, you know, we had a big surge of Latin music coming out and, you know, Peso Pluma's like breaking all the freaking records. So that's, you know, that's what's, you know, people, they still use music videos a lot. But even if you look at like, you know, the latest hit guy, right, the Oliver Anthony, right, if you look at his stuff, he's actually like his promotion was incredible. The way they promoted him was insanely amazing.
You know, I'd love to hear you talk about him for a second because he kind of came seemingly out of the woods and what just did not give a crap about production. And it's just turn an iPhone on, hit record, And that's the thing. And so now there's a lot of Oliver Anthony spinoffs. And so I'd love to hear you talk about his promotion.
Well, his promotion was very interesting. His promotion was more grassroots, right? And it's not wasn't done by him. It was done by the people who took it to the next level, right? So, like, it's if you look at the video, right? It's let's look at this because I did a whole analysis on him because like I did the whole study about how he's been promoted and how he like propelled so fast and so high. The music video, right? It's still a music video, regardless, because it's a good sounding. It's not I don't give a crap. It make it look like I don't give a crap, but I do give a crap.
Yeah,
because
that's a good way to say it. Yeah.
There's multiple angles on this video, all right? There is still color correction. There's still production. It's still cut. It's still chopped. Yeah, it's very like it make it seem like very like oh yeah, it's very lo-fi, and it is. But at the same time, it's still produced. It's still done, right? Mm. So that's one thing. And song, that's what's connected with him. So the music, people, it resonated with people. And he just, people liked it. People started to talk about this. And he just played along kind of for a while. So that was a smart thing. But what they did there is there's a whole group and community. It started on Facebook. That's what I've seen. It starting first bubbling and start picking up. And it's starting into the right wing, right? That's who decided that song is about Biden and, you know, about all the stuff. Like they brought politics into this. And the way they started doing it is they started creating groups, right? That went and they started buying songs. They started to buy songs using their kids' accounts. They started sharing, they started gifting songs because on iTunes, you can actually gift a song to anybody. And you can spend your own money gifting song to somebody. And if they redeem it, counts as a purchase. So you can do this. They started calling radio stations, like tons of them, right? And always requesting the song. So they basically did what the Beatles used to do like in the 60s. So like, you know, call radio stations, you know, like buy the songs, give the songs, like promote it. And it worked, right? And it's like, and the way they did it, just the mass community, it worked. And they just keep pushing and pushing and pushing it. And but in the beginning, the song spoke to the people, right? And there's no ads run. There's no like, you know, it always grew grassroots marketing, which is I haven't seen ever. You know, it's I've never seen this like that. But it worked. It worked for them. And I think similar to the movie, remember this movie came out, Sound of Freedom, that mm-hmm. dominated the charts yeah. as well. Same exact concept, but with a song. Mm-hmm. So, which is brilliant. You know, it's like to me as being a data nerd is brilliant. It's a brilliant idea. It's brilliant like that people can actually have power, you know, so much. And if they do it right and if it catches the fire, it's just going to go and burn. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but it's still designed. And then like he played it very smart too on his end. It's like, oh, I don't need the money. I don't need this. You know, then he took it back from UTA and he took like, you know, and he got signed by the management and like all this stuff. So he built a career out of it. But in a very smart and subtle way, you know, and people, he built a loyal fan base pretty much instantly, which is crazy. Good for him. Yeah. Good for him. Yeah. Like Oliver Anthony, you're watching it. Good for you, man. Good for you.
Yeah, that's awesome. I want to spend maybe just 5 minutes and then I do want to leave a little bit of time for Q&A because I'm sure everyone's got tons of questions. Such good info. Once again, thanks for being on with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
I'd love to talk a little bit about AI for 5 minutes. What are some of the ways that AI is becoming a viable asset to somebody promoting their music? What are some of the ways that you're doing it with your company and recommending that other artists embrace?
Well, we just got the Beatles song, right? So that's pretty valuable. We got final Beatles record, which is incredible. And so because of AI, I think on the promotional side, you cannot, I think the way to promote it, you can rely on AI, right? In the way, up to some certain extent. I see there's companies already out there that says like, oh, you spend $600 a week or something, and then AI is going to position the ads for you. Those don't work. You cannot scale them. And I think in the end of the day, AI or not, right? This is just tools. So all advertising is a tool. It expands your music to similar audiences, right? You're basically paying for the algorithm. That's all it is. There's nothing there. You just create an expansion and showing it to more people. In the end of the day, it's all about the song and it's all about the music. And it doesn't matter how much technology or AI is going to be put there. It's still, in the end of the day, it's still going to be, do I like it or do I don't like it? If I like it, I'm going to listen to it and I'm going to spend time with this and I'm going to really enjoy it. If I don't like it, you can't force me, right? Like, it doesn't matter how many ads and how many technologies you put in front of me. I think going back to the music videos, I think music videos are going to become much cheaper because of the AI. Because AI is going to be able to cut the music videos for you. AI is going to be able to color correct it for you. Also, mixing and mastering probably is going to get to the point when it becomes cheaper and more accessible, right, to people. There's still going to be studios, of course. There's still going to be, like, nothing's going to replace an SSL on Eve console, right? And it's like, it's just not going to be the same. But if you pointed it, if you're an indie musician, you don't have a lot of money on this, like, and you're still trying, you can do a lot of things, right? Like at the click of a button and say, I want to sound like Beatles. I want to sound like Ed Sheeran and stuff. And it's just going to try to replicate and try to get close to this. I also think the ad assets, that would be another very interesting thing. I see it's coming very slowly because of all the restrictions in Europe and all the restrictions of the, you know, of Facebook and Apple and things like that, whatever they're doing. But I think eventually it's going to come based by interest. And I think that's where the advertising is going to start leaning towards, right? Like, as I mentioned before, is if I look at the interest of my fans, right, what they're into, this is what's going to determine what kind of content I'm going to put in front of them. And I think this is where the technology in AI is going to shift as well. It's going to tell me, your fans are interested in outdoors, your fans are interested in swimming pools, your fans are interested in this. So you can target much deeper by the interest. You already can, but you can get even deeper into that, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the whole analysis of your data is going to become much easier, right? So you're going to become much easier to understand what's working and what doesn't. I think we're about 5 years away from this, 5 to 7 years from really seeing the data. But then at this point, it's going to be so much data to see, you would not know where to go. So it's still going to require somebody to look at it and be like, this is like tens of thousands of pieces of data that's coming into you. What do you do with this? How do you position it properly?
Yeah. And that's where we need an Alex Akimov on our team. So how do people work with you if they're interested in connecting with really any of your three companies at this point?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can subscribe to my YouTube. You can go into on my website and you can shoot me. There's the contact form that you can fill out and just connect with me. On all my YouTube videos, I always leave the link to connect with me, my email. So you can always, you know, look under any videos if you don't want to watch what I post. You know, just open it up and send me an email. It's hello@simplesocial.info. Very simple. And if you're looking for sound only, you know, you can fill out the contact form there, or you can just send me an email at alex@sound.me and I'll reply, you know, we'll build a campaign. We'll figure it out. And, you know, and even if you have questions about this stuff, you know, I'm happy to answer. I'm happy to help out because I'm such a data nerd. And I'm so into this and, you know, I love what I do. So it doesn't really, I never did it for the money. So it doesn't matter. And somebody I saw asked in the chat, what's my pricing? I never really did pricing in the way that's like, oh, like, you know, I wouldn't spend $20 on the campaign. I wouldn't take your money and say like, oh, let's spend $20 here. But I think if it's reasonable and if it's like, you know, if there's something going on there, we can always work with this, you know, because it's like, it's not about the money. If you win, I win. Yeah. So that's the important part.
Yeah, I love it. Well, thank you so much for being on with us today.
Oh, thank you.
A nice thank you. And then we are going to transition here into some Q&A. So, Alex, you cool to hang with us for a few more minutes and answer some questions?
Of course. Absolutely.
Awesome. All right. So we are now in Q&A mode. We bring your questions. You can either type them out in the chat or you can raise your hand and do not be shy. You've got obviously a black belt in music marketing, all things AI. I have so many questions, but I don't want to monopolize the conversation. So I've already done that enough. So yeah, go ahead. Questions for Alex on anything he's talked about. And while we're getting our questions together, Alex, maybe we can do a collab YouTube video sometime.
Oh yeah, I would love that.
We recently dove back into it on our channel as well on Full Circle Music, and that's been a big push for us as well. So it's a powerful thing. And yeah, as people are getting their questions together, YouTube is such a powerful tool in the sense that these videos that we made, you know, some 4 or 5 years ago are just now peaking. Like there's, it's like a straight line that just kind of goes like that. And for whatever reason, you hit the algorithm and it just kicks up. So there's a lot of power to YouTube for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Looks like Frank's got a question. Where does a person start to use AI?
Okay. So, but does he mean by AI, by in which aspect? Because AI is everywhere. AI is on your phone already. So you open your phone, you ask Siri a question, it's AI. You know, you have your robot vacuum cleaning your house, it's AI. So AI is already everywhere. But if you're looking for the AI digital advertising, and you're already using it, if you have a business manager for the ads, right, they already offer a lot of AI tools. And every single thing that they do, oh, and help writing music. Oof. That's a very good question. So when you, I honestly, this is the question that I don't know answer to. How do you do like start writing music in AI? I would try ChatGPT because it's going to come up with some stuff, some crazy things for the lyrics and things, for tailoring things and making it easier. You can ask it all sorts of questions. I know there are companies also that do make music based on AI and get the AI to promote music for you and produce music for you. So that exists also, but I just don't know those companies, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a completely different conversation. And we actually did an entire training on AI and vocals, and there's some amazing things you could do with it. Probably too much, but I would say ChatGPT, if you're interested in just like exploring what can it do, that's the easiest. You could say, I want a country song that is written like Eric Church, and it's about X, Y, and Z, and then it'll spit out a whole song lyric for you, which isn't necessarily going to be great, but it could give you some starting points.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think so too. And also, like, there's some, like, I know there's companies that do, you can just type out your what you're looking for, and it will try to make music for you. I don't think it's that advanced yet to make
music. It's not very good. It is not very good. I've spoken from personal experience. It's not very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Which doesn't mean that it will never be, but we're a long ways away from that.
Oh, for sure. For sure. There's also a referral fee if we get your clients. Yeah, we can definitely discuss this. So I'm always open to this. So, you know, and we'll figure out how to make it work. So send me an email and you know, I'm happy to reply to you on this one.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. We've got, looks like Isabel's got a question for us. You want to unmute Isabel?
Hi, I am just starting out. This year I started releasing music. And so all of my accounts have a pretty low following because I haven't actually put money toward the promotion yet. So what would you, like you said, you would take your budget and break it up and do like YouTube and then whatever's your most following. If I don't really have one that has more followers than the other, is there, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So you're starting completely from scratch or you have some people there or it's just completely zero?
No, I have 600 on Instagram.
Okay, so that's the start. So you have 600 people who, you know, who into your music. So that's how I would look at this, right? Who potentially going to listen and stream your song, right? So you already have 600. So it's nothing. It's not nothing. It's actually a big chunk of people, right? Like my first advice is just do not buy any followers. Do not like bought it. Do not like, I know there's a lot of services and be very careful when you go into, when you jump into like, you know, looking on Google, like, oh, get followers on Instagram, get YouTube views and things like that. All these companies are fake, right? Like you're not like good companies that actually do work and actually do deliver the job. You're not going to be able to find them on Google for some reason. That's the weirdest thing, right? So like whatever you're going to Google, it's going to be SEO people who's going to sell you cheap things and then they're going to disappear in a few months. Cause like, you know, this company is going to die down, but it's going to mess up your algorithms a lot, right? So do not buy anything. And what I would do is, you know, you already have 600 people. So I think it's going to be about putting out the first song. Have you put out any music yet?
Yeah, three songs.
Three songs. Okay, cool. How often are you putting out the songs?
Kind of irregularly, like every 3 months or so.
Every 3 months or so. Okay. What I would suggest doing is get on the schedule with this. Right. So like get on the schedule with releasing your music consistently. That's the number one thing and number one most important thing, because if you're consistent, the algorithm is going to love you. If you're consistent with posting your content, the algorithm is going to, you know, enjoy it as well. So you have to be consistent. And my suggestion would be 4 to 6 weeks to release the song, because this allows you time to promote your song for 4 weeks, you know, submit it to editorial playlist, and gives you enough time to do all these things, right? But and if you don't have enough music, right? So let's say you don't have enough songs, right? And you're like, oh shoot, I have to make song every 4-6 weeks. It's a lot of music, right? And what kind of genre you are?
Christian pop.
Christian pop, cool. So what I would do is I'm a big fan of Christian music. So like really big fan. And you know, like really like it and really enjoy it. And I like where it actually came, right? Because it's started like a few years ago. It was really used to be really cheesy. And like really like, you know, the whole Christian music was cheesy, right? And now it picked up, you know, and now like it's just getting better and better. And every single like month you hear new artists who are developing in this really quick in this genre, which is amazing. I'm really happy to hear and hear that. What I would look at with this is, let's say you have a song, right? And you need to put, you kind of like, oh, should I need to put another song in 4 to 6 weeks, right? What do I do? What you can do, you can take your production and you can strip it down to completely like acoustic version. So you can make an acoustic version of your song, which is going to give you a piece of content, right away. Then you can do, you know, I don't know if remixes is something that you would be into, right? But remixes is another way to go. You can reach out to DJs online. Like there's a lot of DJs who's going to do it for free because they just like your song, who's just starting out. And also you can start putting out covers, which is another really good way to build your audience, because if people are going to connect and react with your cover, then they're going to connect, right? And then they're going to be like, oh, I really like this. Let me listen to it. But my suggestion on the covers is don't do female covers. Like, because if you're going to go to, I mean, do it, but don't do too much of this. Because if I go into, let's say like Adele, right? And so many girls I remember singing Adele and trying to be like Adele, sound like Adele. I'm always like intuitively going to compare you to Adele regardless. And Adele would do it better because it's Adele, right? Or whoever, right? Because I'm already used to it, right? It doesn't mean she did a better job. You might be like 10 times better than her, but I'm still going to compare her to you, and you to her, which is going to like eliminate me, be like, I'm going to start comparing who did it better. But if you do a male cover, I can't compare it. I can't compare female to male because it's not going to work. I'll be like, yeah, it's different. So, and it automatically opens up in my brain. It automatically opens up. I'm going to give it a shot because it's different. This is something that I'm not used to, right? So doing the covers is really cool. And also look at the trending covers, like what trending on the Christian scene, right? So like right now, I don't know if you're following him, Forrest Frank, that's his name.
Yes, yep.
So he does a lot of dope music. You know, like I worked him when he was in Surfaces. So worked on his songs a lot, and then he went Christian, right? And I'm still listening to him, I'm still a fan. But he did, he's doing really good Christian music, like, and he's doing it in the vibe of like cool pop, you know, so taking his covers and making it and adding your spin to it and your twist to it. And when you're doing ads, you know, look at his fan base, right? You can go, there's a cool thing called Chartmetric. I don't know if you've heard of this or not. Chartmetric.
I have, but very, very little.
So that's where you can use. This is the tool that you can use to look at their fans, right, and see where their fans are from. You know, where the audience, like his audience, and target the same audience. You know, target, go after, you know, after Forrest, go after similar Christian artists if you promote it. And you know, I think this is what's gonna make a big difference for you. You know, but I think covers is like, that's how you can build a very loyal audience, but don't overdo it. Because if people are going to start knowing you as a cover artist, it's going to stop you as well. So be very subtle with this. Be clever.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Some great, great advice. Let's end up with Dave's question here.
Great. Thank you. Just in general, I haven't gotten into YouTube or TikTok yet, but I'm planning to do one or the other. What would you recommend as an artist and as a producer for content creation, if you want to just dive into one or the other and really focus on content creation as a songwriter and a producer, which one would you recommend investing more time and energy into?
It's going to depend, right? Are you looking to make long form content, or you want to like you into more short form content? So what do you like more?
Probably more short form, yeah.
Short form. I would go into TikTok if you're looking for short form content. But the thing is, the key about this, two keys about the short, about the content just in general, what I've learned, right, so far. Again, I've always been on the opposite side. I've always been giving content to promote. So it's like, oh, here's a song, promote this. Okay, cool. It's already done, made, produced, A&R, whatever. It's great. Yeah, easy. But creating your own content is just a lot more complicated. I would say just start doing it. Because one of my biggest regrets, right, I wanted to start, like everybody were telling me to start a YouTube channel 5 years ago. You know, and it's like, oh, yeah, you should start it. People are going to watch it and things like that. 3 years ago, I heard exactly the same thing. It's like, oh, yeah, start it, do it. And my biggest regret is not starting it and not doing it. My biggest regret is like starting it 3 months ago, not starting it back in January of last year. But, and I'm like, man, like I wish I did this before, right? And always learn. So always try to make 100 videos, right? Make 100 videos, post them. And then you're going to start understanding what your audience like and what your audience care about. In reality, it's like, you know, to me at least, I speak with an accent, right? And people still make fun of me on my YouTube channel about that. It's like, oh, yeah, you speak with an accent, you have Russian accent, go back to Russia. Like, people are mean, you know? But in reality, like, right? And that was my biggest fear, right? And it's, you know, I got those now stopped, just gone, you know, so everybody's positive now. But before, in the beginning, it was like kind of weird to me. And I was like really self-conscious of this thing. How am I like, oh my gosh, like I'm going to talk about this. And I'm also like, you know, I really can't talk about the artist that I'm promoting. You know, I can't really discuss this so much openly. I can't really like, you know, and how do I win them? Like, what if everybody going to care? What if like, in reality, nobody cares until everybody cares, right? So you have to make, you have to get to the point that's, you know, make 100 videos, post them, see it, like make each video 1% better than the last one. Just a little bit better, you know, improve, you know, with me when I started my first video, I know if you watch South Park, or I've seen South Park. Remember there was this gamer, like the boating gamer with a ponytail sitting on a chair, like a big one. Like, I don't know if you've seen it or not. Like it's just like very known character there. So that was me, you know, I was like sitting on my chair, no lighting, no sound. Like I was just like filmed it on my like DSLR camera. It was terrible. Now it's still terrible, but it's better. That's how I'm improving 1%. So, and eventually it's going to become good. Eventually you're going to become good because you start learning about this. Content creation, like those people who actually making, who actually got their following and who actually build it, they very clever, very smart people. And it's because they're not just content creator. They have to public speaking. They have to do, you know, analyze data, video editing, all this kind of stuff comes into it, but it's all about start doing it. And if you do it consistently, you're going to get better, you know, and you always can delete your old videos or keep them. So people, so like your fan base can also see is like, oh, this is what happened in the beginning. This is how far it became. And if you have something valuable to share, we all do, you know, everybody has a story. So share it, you know, people are going to like it. You're always going to find the audience. The algorithm is going to find the audience for you to share it. But my advice would be just start it. You know, and then eventually, like right now, you're thinking about short form content and being like, oh, yeah, you also post YouTube Shorts. That's another important thing. So you do TikTok and YouTube Shorts. So at least you're going to start building the channel on YouTube and your presence there as well.
Right.
And then eventually you might say, you know what? I kind of want to do long form now. I'm kind of tired. Like, oh, I don't want to do short form content anymore. It's like, you know, I kind of want to get into more and more, you know. So that's what I think would be the right thing. Just start doing it. Make 100 videos. And then send me an email. Show me. I want to see it. And send me an email regardless. I'm going to subscribe and follow you.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Appreciate
it. Thank you.
Amazing. Well, this has been so helpful. And as Isabel says in the chat, this has definitely been so beneficial. Alex, thank you so much for just generously giving us your time today, your knowledge. And
thank you. I appreciate it.
Once again, just to remind people, how can they connect with you? What's the best way once again?
Yeah, you can send me an email at hello@simplesocial.info. If you're looking for sound and TikTok campaigns, you can say hello@simplesocial.info, or you can send it to alex@sound.me. And you can always subscribe to my YouTube channel, which is, you know, at Simple Social. And I have email in every description, so you can always shoot me over an email. And I'll be happy to, you know, just talk to you, just to connect with you. It's, you know, even if we don't work together, you know, you have questions, you have ideas, you have thoughts that you want to run by, you know, let's go.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much, Alex. This has been a blast. Perfect. Getting to know you, and hopefully it's not the last time. We'll have to connect and keep chatting and maybe do some videos together.
Yeah. I will post the replay for this later, and I will include all the links that we just talked about so that you guys can connect with Alex as well. So
exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you so much. Appreciate y'all.
Y'all have a great day. Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Made It in Music podcast. Make sure to check out our other episodes. We have well over 100 interviews with some of the top music industry pros, many here in Nashville and many from all over the world. Subscribe to make sure that you automatically get future episodes, and leave us a review if you loved it. It would really help us out. Or send an email to support@fullcirclemusic.com if you have ideas for how we can improve the show. See you in the next episode.